Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I am Craig. This is Greg. We love exploring different leadership topics. And, you know, I remember somebody telling me a long time ago, they said, you know, if you're a leader at work, you probably aren't going to have any friends at work. So, Greg, let's explore that a little bit. Is it possible, is it doable for a leader to have friends at work?
For sure. And I think it's critical to their influence legacy is to have relationships. Partly what we'll unpack today, I'm sure you'll get some great golden nuggets. And I think the part we have to wrestle with is defining that, you know, but the friend part, I'd like to get maybe back to the leadership piece. It can be lonely, and they use the word at the top, but sometimes you climb the ladder and forgot who was with you, right? So the lonely part, we've seen a number of leaders where it could be public, national leaders, local, personal ones we know where they crashed. Mm-hmm. You know, they were lonely and they didn't have that maybe fellowship that was needed. It is tough, Craig, and please share your experiences about how do you mix personal friendship and work relationship?
Yeah, well, I think that is an important one because unless you already had a friendship with somebody and then you invited them to join your team, I think that there is those separate circles. Mm. I think that you can be friendly to people and you can get close to them and you can find out, you know, what makes them tick, what are their goals, their aspirations, what are the things that maybe they're concerned about. And I think, you know, you're knowing a little bit about, oh, it's your wedding anniversary or, you know, your son's graduating from high school, but you may not know, oh, your son is in this club at school and this is what his GPA is. Maybe you're not into those kind of details like you would be with somebody who's a family friend, a personal friend outside of work.
I think also we don't have a, you know, easel to work on, but I think there's some reprieve for us leaders. You can't be friends with everybody. Yeah, sure. And there's a little bit of that pressure too is, well, I don't really know him that well. You know, she doesn't really talk to me. It's impossible. If you have a big organization or an organization that has remote, you know, you're not all together, it is hard to get the true friendship, but you take acquaintances, pretty big circle, people you know but don't know that great. Maybe strong acquaintances. That's kind of where I like to play for you leaders. That's sort of that's the middle one. And then true friends, you know, it's people that you can count on to pray for you. They invite you to pray for them. You know some important things in their life that you need to take to your grave. You know, sometimes you get in the valley with someone like, I can't tell nobody that thing. But right, absolutely. I still love him or she's amazing. But but I think that we got to play with how many friends can you really maintain, true friends. The strong acquaintances is kind of where I like to play, and people will prove themselves worthy and some will prove themselves not to be in that circle. But I think that helps, Craig, with people like, I'm not going to be their favorite. I'm not going to be 100 staff person's favorite person.
Right, of course not.
It's unachievable.
And it's not achievable. And if you're trying to get your job done at the same time, you just, relationships take a certain amount of time to develop. It's not just, you know, like kids on the, you know, the playground. You like Batman? I like Batman too. Let's be best friends. You know, it's not like that.
Do you like Batman?
I do like Batman. I'm Batman. Okay.
I like Aquaman.
Okay. You're weird.
I'm underwater.
Okay. But
see my gills.
there is that just a reality of the amount of time that you have to be able to put into those relationships. And I think that at work too, a lot of the relationships end up being, if you're the leader, you are mentoring, coaching, developing, and that's not really necessarily feeding, that is I'm giving out. And yeah, so true. I need to have the friendships where you know, out maybe outside of work that are feeding me. I got to have some strength here, otherwise I got nothing to give to the other people.
I think in confidence is a challenge for leaders, myself included, you know, is so if I tell them something personal or professional, like inner workings of the company or organization, will they use it against me?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And if they don't stay with us and they go to a competitor, they've taken intel. And it's a little tough, I think, for some leaders to know how much to share.
Sure.
But being so surface, you know, thin layer, it's hard for people to follow us, engage with us, for us to have an influence there. I think for some, Craig, and I'll ask this question. So subjects in friendship, some like to know the inner workings, the down and dirty. So, you know, the new person in such and such a building, is she going to make it? As a leader, you can't play HR. Right. You can't tell them. Yeah. So have you had that before where someone kind of wants to know a little more, whether it's, you know, you as a pastor or a director of a, you know, camp or a business owner, where have you kind of played where they're like, yeah, they're probably digging versus like they want to relationize?
Sure. I like, so, you know, one of my favorite series of books still to this day, I know some people say their kids' book, is the Narnia books that C.S. Lewis wrote. And Aslan, the lion, the kind of the, you know, dominating figure throughout all these books, when people will be asking him a question, usually about somebody else, I love his response that C.S. Lewis wrote. They'll say, Aslan will say, I'm telling you your story. I'm not going to talk to you about somebody else's story. And so I've kind of adapted that a little bit. When somebody is prying into an area, you do have to kind of, okay, clearly if they're asking about another person, I want to say something like, listen, I'm going to talk to you about your story. I'm not going to, just like you wouldn't want me talking to them about you, I'm not going to talk to you about them. But even like some of the inner workings of the company, you know, you have to think, okay, is this going to help them do their job better?
Right.
Are they one of those people that they're going to work better if they've got a more of a bird's eye view, a big picture thing? And if they're not, then they're just being kind of busybodies. They're kind of being nosy. And so then you're going to have to squelch that. And I think that that's the reason why some people have that. I'm just not going to be have a close relationship with anybody at work, because there's some people that I can let into my confidence and I can share a little bit more. And there's other people I can't. And they don't like that, because then this person might come back and say, well, you told that person this, why wouldn't you tell me? And they don't want to have to deal with that part to explain it. So, but I think that there is discretion has to be involved there.
Well, and all you need to be is burned once as a leader.
Sure.
Right.
Once bitten, twice shy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Patrick Lencioni, one of our favorite authors of many, that whole, you know, the title of the book gets everybody's attention, you know, Get Naked. But the whole point of the book is transparency as a leader. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't say spill your guts.
Absolutely.
Right. But you can't be standoffish, because they're like, I really don't even know the guy. I mean, I don't even know what he stands for. She doesn't tell us anything. She's just really closed, you know, closed off. So I think they need to know that if we're going to get to the next level. Similar analogy with a military team, right? A battalion, they pretty much know everything about each other for that function.
Sure.
Not full life.
Right.
And the one example I'll give, and I'll ask you, give me your stories on it. But I think when someone says, hey, you know, we work together and, you know, I'm leaving with another, let's stay in touch. It doesn't work that great, because the commonality was work.
Yes.
And that's okay to a point, but I'm concerned for leaders who only work and have work relationships, but no personal.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. I mean, so I look at, like you were talking about the different circles that, you know, and you got like acquaintances, and then you have kind of the closer group and that sort of thing. And I think that it's very important. People have talked about this in the Bible, that everybody should have in their life, they should have a Paul, like Paul was to Timothy, so somebody that's mentoring me. But they should also have somebody like a Barnabas,
yes.
You know, somebody that is that peer, that iron sharpening iron kind of thing. And I think that that's what we need to make sure as leaders. Like, if at work, if all I'm doing is I just have people that I'm investing in their relationships, and helping them grow and developing them, then I need to make sure that outside of work that I'm getting filled up somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so I need to have cultivate those relationships that are going to be filling me, not just draining me.
there was an old movie, Jack Nicholson, I'm not sure, The Shining maybe, where he stuck his head through and, you know, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy or whatever his name was. And it was an odd scene. And you've seen still pictures of him. He's, you know, he's kind of crazy looking. I wonder about all work, no play for us leaders if we dry out.
Yeah.
Kind of address that.
Well, we talked about that in a previous episode, that, you know, the importance of having some play time in there. But I think playtime, just for the sake of playtime, can be very draining. I mean, how many people have you heard, like, when they come back, they're like, I need a vacation to recover from my vacation? Because all they did in their vacation time was just expend energy.
To entertain.
Right. And they did not get anything. But I think you can have the mini playtimes. You know, you can say, hey, you call up a buddy and say, hey, on the way home from work, let's meet and just play a little disc golf and, you know, have a sandwich together afterwards and just catch up on what's going on. I think that you can build in those mini sessions. I talk about, in my book, Shepherd Leadership, I talk about the idea of making Sabbathing a verb, because you see in the life of Jesus, it wasn't this regimented, like, the Sabbath day is my day off. He didn't do that. He didn't just take one day and say, I'm off, but he was very tuned in. You know, this was very draining, what just happened right now. I need to take a nap. This was very spiritually depleting. You guys take off. I'm going to spend some time just by myself praying. And I think that we need to do that as leaders as well. Like, and sometimes it's going to be, I need to call my good friend Greg. I don't have an agenda. I don't have anything to really talk about except just shoot the breeze. Hey, let's go meet for a bagel and let's just hang out for a couple hours.
Well, and when you share things, and it's sort of, you know, it's like the turnstile, like, okay, you share, I share. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you're like, we've shared 13 personal things and it was awesome.
Yeah.
I got to know a little more, or I got to learn this. I think the part that I would maybe challenge you to add more to this is the intentionality of a leader, you know, to be in touch with people. Not maybe your favorite person at the office or your favorite teammate on an organizational committee, but intentional. And I've had some really great mentors, I know you have, where, like, hey, we're overdue for lunch or breakfast. That meant time.
Yes.
Right? Koinonia is a great word. You know, it's a biblical word. Fellowship is that. And it doesn't have to have an agenda. It may end up having one, you know, something to share, but the intentionality of, you know, maybe not going out with your two best working buddies at work, but maybe spreading the floor a little bit as a leader. How hard is that? What would you suggest?
Well, I think, you know, I would take with my staff members, I'd be very intentional about saying, all right, I think that these two guys are kind of on the same track. I want to do a small group kind of thing with those two guys. This whole department over here, what I see them really needing to develop this, so I'm going to do something with that department. And I think that that's very intentional. But I think, again, the intentionality on my side to say, all right, it's time to close the computer, put the phone on silence. And I'm at home with my wife. I don't need any interruptions right now. I just, I need to just connect with her, have her connect with me. That's what's going to fill my bucket so that I've got something when I come back in the next day, I've got something that's there. So I think that we have to be very intentional about doing that. And that sometimes looks different, because sometimes the intentionality means I might be coming in earlier or staying late. But sometimes it might mean I'm not going into the office at all. You know, but there's a reason behind it. I've thought this thing through. It's not just, I don't want us to get to a spot where we just go, you know, I'm just so exhausted, I'm just not going to work today.
That's a good point.
Okay. You know, but saying I'm getting close to being tired, I need to, you know.
I think one thing that maybe leaders that are watching and listening could benefit from is describe the friend traits, characteristics that as a leader you'd like to have in someone. And maybe also, where's the mirror? Are you that friend?
Sure. I think at work, one of the big things that you want is you want to look at coachability, people that are willing to allow you to invest in them. And I think that you also need some people that are honest, because that's the mirror, the people that, that know that they can come in and share something with you. I was sharing with you just before we started recording, that one organization where I was working, my weekly staff meeting, I had a very diverse staff as far as like education goes. And I had one guy that he said to me, you know, a lot of times in staff meeting, I don't understand what you're saying. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, the words you use are too big. And I said, oh, I okay, thank you for being honest with me on that. And I changed. And now I didn't dumb it down. I didn't water it down. But I just wanted to make sure that I was saying what people were going to get. But what the cool thing was, and I actually didn't notice this at first, it was my wife that pointed out to me. She said, have you noticed in your time being here how many of your team members are furthering their education? You've had people that didn't graduate high school that are now getting their GEDs. You have people that are enrolling in colleges and trade schools, and people that are working on master's degrees that they weren't doing that before you came. You unleashed that in them. And so I think that that's what you want to look at. Do you want to receive from me? Because I'm wasting my time. It's not a good investment of my time to pour into you if you don't even want it. But then I also need people that are going to be honest with me in the feedback of saying, yeah, I'm getting what you're saying, or that's not really helping me. I'm not, we're having this weekly meeting. I don't feel any different. I don't feel like I've gained anything from it. So you need that coachability and then the feedback that's honest, and then you know whether you're making the right investment there.
I'm going to throw one trait out that I don't think is a friend, but leaders often want these kind of people around, and it's yes people.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, that's not a friend. That's what do you call it? A suck up? You know, somebody that's just like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. Oh yeah, whatever you say is that. That doesn't benefit anybody anything.
What's our snare as leaders? Why do we want a bunch of people that agree with us?
I don't know. I don't want people that agree with me. But I like when people go, it's a good start, but I'm not following you on that. That's what I want. I don't want somebody going, oh, that's wonderful.
No comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, just do it. Yeah, do it. Because those are usually the people that later, if it doesn't turn out well, though, I didn't think that was going to work. Well, why didn't you tell me that up front?
Oh, yeah. I do think the yes person is so, it's a little false ego.
Sure.
What warnings would you have for leaders who are, maybe they've been burned, you know, the person used it against them, or maybe told people that, you know, we're best buddies here and there's jealousy, envy, whatever. What would you say would be like, the warning about being on an island?
Well, so, and
versus, you know,
I love the story about Oliver Cromwell, that he was having his portrait done, and Oliver Cromwell had some warts on his face, and when this artist painted, he thought he was doing a service to Cromwell by he left the warts off, and when he showed the finished product, Oliver Cromwell told him, take it back and paint me again, warts and all. I know that they're there, so let's be honest about it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of the big things when we don't let people speak honestly to us, when we don't receive that, we do put ourselves on an island. And in those positions where we're lonely, a lot of times the loneliness turns into kind of this self-pity. Mm. And so I look at, and I talk about this in Shepherd Leadership, like look at some great men like David. When did he stumble? When he was by himself. It said all of his guys were out at war and he was by himself. The prophet Elijah, he left his servant behind and he went by himself out into the desert. And then that's when he said to God, why don't you just take me home? I'm really not doing anything here. Or Peter, you know, Jesus, I'll never deny you. And it says all the other disciples said the same thing. But once Peter was all by himself, he crumbled in front of a little servant girl, you know, couldn't even stand up to her. Strong guys, but when they were on an island, when they were by themselves, that's when they crumbled. And so a lot of times when I see leaders that have fallen, when you go back, they were feeling sorry for themselves. You go back a little bit farther, well, that's because you isolated yourself from everybody and there was nobody there to give you honest feedback. There was nobody there to encourage you. And so, you know, it's, you were setting yourself up for that.
Yeah. And there is that balance, isn't there, mm-hmm. with work and life, with projects and friends, you know, having to maybe not share everything that's going on. Like, this is the next moves. And then if you let it out, everybody knows it's the gossip, you know, the telephone drill.
Sure.
But I think I think an island is a warning. It sounds great to be in the Caribbean island in winter when you have cold weather wherever you live. But I think the challenge we have is, how do we make sure we have enough netting that you have friends, strong acquaintances and acquaintances, and that could be family as well in there, that keep you sharp,
yeah.
Maybe keep you humble, maybe show you something that we're just not aware of that we're doing or how it affected people. I think the island is a big warning for some of us.
Yes.
'Cause you, like you say, self-pity. And I don't know if I can even quote this from any news, certainly not Main Street Now, but the news was one of the biggest, basically bad habits of people who, as they get older, is they're more and more alone, mm-hmm. even though we have these.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that those phones make people any more connected, because, you know, people are like, I got, you know, 1,200 friends on Facebook, and yet you're sitting at your house all by yourself.
Yeah.
So I
can't even keep you and a couple other good buddies happy. I mean, I'm not even that good. But to say you have 1,200 friends, right. or they're just connections, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think the big point for you to share maybe is the having a friend and being a friend. Those aren't easy when you're in an organization.
Right.
And then there can be silos, mm-hmm. and tribes and small groups. How do you navigate all those and still have rewarding relationships as a leader?
Well, I think it does have to, you do have to be self-aware. I think at work, you do have to know, these are the people that if I'm around them, I realize I'm going to get drained when I'm around them. But if I have other people that I'm around that are filling me, then, you know, that will allow me to extend grace even to these draining people. Mm-hmm. But then outside of work, I need to be able to find those people that are pouring into me as well, that are nurturing my relationships. And you know what? Sometimes that means a trade-off, because sometimes that means that, like, you know, it might be really easy to go home and park it on the couch and just have the TV remote in my hand or have my phone and I'm just scrolling through some social media posts. But to trade that off to say to somebody, let's go meet somewhere and do something. Let's go out to dinner so we can talk. Let's go play a round of golf. Let's just sit in the park and, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing. There does have to be a trade-off. Well, like, I'll tell you a trade-off that I'd gladly make. We were sharing some notes back and forth as we were talking about this episode, and you snuck a little note in here. So I'm going to read, I'm going to quote from Greg Harris.
Oh, my goodness.
He says, there's nothing better than a friend, except a friend with Mountain Dew or chocolate or Twizzlers or hot tamales or a good barbecue. I think sometimes there is a trade-off. You're like, okay, well, I got the Twizzlers and the Mountain Dew. That's all I can come up with. So let's just go with what mm-hmm. we got right there. And I think sometimes you have to do that with, hey, you know what? If all I've got right now is you're available for 7 minutes on the phone for a quick conversation, if that's all I got, I'll take that. Mm-hmm. Because that's seven positive minutes that right. I didn't have.
Yeah.
And that might be just enough. It might be just the thing that I need to get to the next part. So I think a leader just has to be really self-aware. I'm feeling drained, you know?
Mm.
And why am I drained? Was it this meeting? Was it this person? Was it, okay, well then who can I be around that's going to refill? What do I need to do?
One thing that can happen for a leader who maybe wrestles with self-aware, like they don't really know, like, What's my fuel level in my tank? Mm-hmm. You need a person like you, a Betsy, or you with me, or you with someone from church, or you with someone from, you know one of your kids. Just, Dad, you're a little quick. You okay?
Yeah,
I'm a little stressed. Well, let's go outside. And we need those sometimes. Sometimes we're in the middle of it and we don't even realize it. Yep. You know, we're banging out emails and memos and rushing to this meeting and asking person, you know, do you have notes? I didn't get copies of notes. And you're just not at your, right. you know, your best.
Right.
You're not pitching great pitches anymore. Now you're just throwing the ball.
Right.
And I think sometimes you need that strong acquaintance or really good friend to, hey, not nosing in here, but I've noticed this. What do you think? And then you brought the word up coachability earlier. As a leader, then you're like, thank you for caring.
Yes, absolutely.
I totally didn't even get it. And you're right.
And that's what I think is very important for a leader to say that to somebody. Thank you for, even if they weren't right, if they said, you seem a little bit, you know, off here, and you say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I was just thinking about this, and maybe that's why I kind of had my work face on. It looked a little intense there.
Right.
But thank you for, you know, stepping in. I really appreciate you doing that. Please continue to do that. You know, don't shoot the person down. I'm fine. You know,
right.
just kind of, or boy, you were way off in left field. You weren't even close. And yeah. that's what's going to encourage the next step, maybe in a relationship, that maybe you could say, hey, you know, they were noticing that. Maybe that might be somebody that's going to be good to invest into my life. And
that's good.
Yep.
Yeah. We're not always going to know for ourselves. Sometimes we need that, like you said, a Timothy with a Paul or a Barnabas to a Paul. Christ had, you know, 12 dudes in sandals. And then he had kind of three and then one main, as you really kind of whittled it down. And I think that's kind of how I like my analogy of the, you know, acquaintance, sure. strong acquaintance, and then like my friends. And, Christ still had relationships with all of them.
Sure.
But they were different relationships. Yeah. And maybe just finish up with that, the depth of relationships, you can't pour out into everyone you run across.
Right.
But you do need to have pour out opportunities and them pour in too.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that is about setting the priority. You know, there were times that Jesus said to, you know, his 12 disciples, I'm going to share something with you that I didn't share with the whole crowd. I want you to be able to take this a little bit further. You know, Paul, he writes letters to whole churches, but then he writes letters to individuals like Timothy and Titus and Philemon. I want to just share something with you guys just one-on-one. I want to be a little bit more intimate on this. And so I think you do have to, you can't be the same person for everybody. There's just not enough of you to go around. But, you know, that's what we want to do. One of the things that in our coaching huddles that we do is that is the kind of the one-on-one. We want to pour into your life. You know, you come into a coaching huddle and you're like, boy, I feel kind of run down. I'm not really sure why, and I'm not sure how to fix it. We're the ones that we want to ask you some questions and say, hey, what about this? Or we would see you trying something like this. And so check that out on MaximizeLeadership.com, the coaching huddles, you can fill out the form and we'll give you some more information there. But we also want to be able to help you out if you say, hey, here's a topic that's I'm wondering about. Is this something that I could do at work or in my personal life? Leave it as a comment below or on Twitter. Get in touch with us at Maximize Podcast and say, hey, what about this topic? And very well could be that it'll be a next episode of the Craig and Greg Show that you will fuel the topic for us. So we love being able to interact with you. We want to pour into your life. We want to be helpers for you, so please reach out to us. Let us know what we can do. We're cheering you on. We want to see you excel and be your very best as a leader. So stay in touch and get ready for the next episode coming soon from the Craig and Greg Show.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the Craig and Greg Show.